Every daughter in the house, can you say amen?
Amen. Good morning, ladies. Wow, Father, thank you so much, God, that you get us outside of ourselves and you do something so much better, so much more beautiful, so much more glorious than we could ever do on our own, God. Father, today we want to encounter you, Lord. Encounter means to have an unexpected thing, Lord. We want to encounter you in an unexpected way. Lord, this is not, every day is new. Every moment is a moment for you to do something new in us and speak to us in a new way and conform us more into the image of your Son. And Lord, we want to encounter you today. Surprise us, Lord. Surprise me as I teach. Lord, who is worthy to speak on these matters? Only you, God. So I pray you would speak through me and speak to each one of us today in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'm so honored to be with you guys today and so thankful. And I thought, you know, so when I chose to speak on suffering, I thought to myself, what are you doing? Like, because I could have spoke on love. But it's all love, right? So, but I knew it was because God wanted to teach me something too today. And, you know, when we talk about Paul, a lot of times we want to focus on he's like the mega apostle, right? Like, we watch movies about the Apostle Paul. We look at his missionary journeys, all the churches he planted, all the people he encouraged, the encouragement he wrote to us. And we go, man, I want to be like Paul, right? But sometimes, and I'm saying this for myself, what we don't do is we don't slow down and think about how Paul actually got to that point. We look at heroes in the faith, even within our church, and we think, man, I wish I could be like her. But we don't consider what they've gone through to be the person they are today. And it's not them you're seeing, it's Christ in them that you're seeing, right? Paul is a man. He's just like you and I. Minus, you know, well, I'm not even going to go. He's a man, not a woman. So, sorry, that was so, like, not even necessary. But anyways, he's a man. He's broken. He was a broken vessel, a jar of clay, willing to be used by the Lord no matter what. And that's why he planted so many churches. And that's why he encouraged us and wrote words that echo throughout eternity. And we get to sit here and be encouraged by them today. It wasn't because he was some special guy greater than everyone else. It's because God said, I choose you, I want to use you, and he said yes, no matter what. And so I wanted to start today by looking at, we're going to start out in the conversion of Paul. You know, like Allison, she talked a little bit about what I'm going to talk today, about today. Stacy mentioned some of the things that I'm going to talk about today. And in my flesh, I'm going, really? It's not going to be a surprise. But you know what God showed me during worship? It's because this is something we must be reminded of. Suffering is a part of our journey. Without it, there is no victory. And that's why we have to be reminded of it, okay? So I'm going to start out with Paul's conversion. And you don't have to turn to anything yet, but it's in the book of Acts. And We see that Paul, you know, we know the light comes and he falls to his knees and God speaks to him, Jesus speaks to him. But then something happens that when I was studying, I just felt a pause and the Holy Spirit told me to pause. It says he becomes blind, right? He can't see. And I thought, why? Like, what is the point of that? I wanted to sit there for a minute. Why was Paul struck blind? He could see the glory of God, right? He saw Jesus. The light was so bright. Yes, all of that. He was humbled. But I felt the Holy Spirit showed me something. You know, Paul wrote the words that I walk by faith and not by sight, right? From the very beginning of Paul's conversion, Jesus was showing him that in order to follow him and in order to be everything he was calling him to be and in order to endure till the end and fight the good fight and win the prize, that he was going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. And so Paul, this huge persecutor of the church, was now being led into the city where he was going to kill the children of God, was being led not by sight, by faith and in humility. And that's how he was going to have to live his life in order to endure. In Acts 9:16, Jesus tells Ananias how much Paul's going to have to suffer. He says, you know, don't worry, Ananias. You're going to see the sincerity of his faith. Those aren't the words Jesus said, but he said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And because I thought to myself, why is he telling Ananias this? And it is because he's saying, Ananias, you're going to see. You're going to see that this man who you're so afraid of, that his faith is true. That his faith withstands fire. Everything worth it will be tested by fire. You're going to see that because he's going to endure. You're going to see what he's going to suffer for my name's sake. So don't worry about it, right? And did Paul suffer? Yes, he did. We're going to look at three ways Paul suffered. Paul suffered physically, right? That's one that a lot of us are really familiar with. He suffered, it says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul mentions that he was given a thorn in the flesh. And he actually calls it a messenger of Satan. Have any of you ever had something poking you like a thorn that you're just like, that is a messenger of Satan? I think every hand might go up. Absolutely. Thorn means thorn. It means it pokes you. It prods you. It's a hindrance. It's something that could take your eyes off the prize or cause you to say, you know what? I can't move forward because I've got this thing. And I think one of the things we don't think about when we think about Paul too is that Paul had a process. It wasn't like Paul had this thorn in his side and he was like, but I will boast in my infirmities. No, it says he pleaded. He pleaded, God, take this away from me. He went through that process, but the right thing that Paul did was he took his thorn to the Lord. He didn't cause his thorn to stop him from running the race or to stop God from using him. He took it to the Lord, and if you guys want to turn to 2 Corinthians 12, we're going to look at verses 9 through 10. So Jesus gives Paul an answer when he pleads with him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul's response comes after Paul takes this thorn to the Lord. After he turns in submission to God in the midst of his suffering, then he gets the answer, and then he's empowered to say, therefore, everybody say, therefore. Therefore. No, no, say it like, therefore.
Therefore.
There you go. Therefore, most gladly. It's like, therefore, because God's grace is enough for me. And because when I'm weak, he is made perfect in me. Therefore, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. That is so weird. That is so contrary to the world we live in. Even some Christians are out there preaching, oh, if you suffer, it's not from God. Read your Bible.
Yep.
Read the Bible. Don't just listen to men. Men try to sugarcoat things to hopefully get people to want to follow Jesus. Read the Bible, because suffering is a huge part of it, but there is great, great promise throughout it. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul, he didn't want the eyes to be on him. He knew why he was on this earth, and he knew it was only temporary. And it was short compared to eternity. So he wanted to accomplish everything that God had called him to. So in this moment, he gets the answer and he decides to walk in it. Therefore, I'm going to brag. You know, we tend to brag about our accomplishments, right? Yeah, I do. Oh yes, I did this and this and that and this. How often do we brag about our infirmities? Like, for real? Not often. I wonder if we started living like that, if we might start to see the true power of God manifested in our lives. Not our own strength and our own power, but the Lord's. I get excited and then I have to come back and check out my notes here. Paul's eyes were set on the prize, and we read that in what he wrote. He was more concerned about the name of Jesus, the name of Christ being magnified to the world, than he was about his own name. So then he said, you know what? I walk with a limp. Who cares? Because when people see that, and they see the power of God working through me, who are they going to give glory to? God. And what's it all about, ladies? Why are we here? Jesus. To give him glory so that the whole world will know his name, right? So I pray, Lord, that you'll give us the power to boast in our infirmities, and to not be stopped by them, but to keep going. What if Paul stopped? What if he didn't keep going? I know we say those things, but really think about it. We wouldn't be having this study this morning, that's for sure. The Lord can give us the strength, because when we are weak, he is strong. Another way that Paul suffered was heartbreak. And I don't think about this one as much, but Paul was heartbroken. He said it in his own words. He was heartbroken for people to know Christ, especially his own people, the Jews, right? Have you guys ever been heartbroken for someone to know Jesus? Have you felt the deep, deep pain that they keep rejecting him? That's God's heart. That's God's heart. And that is a form of suffering. In Romans 9:1, I'll read it to you. You can write down that scripture, but Romans 9:1, Paul says, I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and my countrymen according to the flesh. Paul's telling us he has great sorrow and continual grief in his heart. Who does that remind you of? Jesus, right? Jesus was a man of many sorrows. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Paul had God's heart for the Jews and the Gentiles. But in this instance, we're talking about the Jews. And not only heartbreak over them wanting to know Jesus, but this is something I don't think we think about. He was heartbroken because they wanted him dead. All he wanted was for them to know the freedom that he had found, and they wanted to kill him. And we look at that and we're like, oh yeah, of course. Like, and then we read the next verse, but rewind. The people that Paul went to Passover with, the people that Paul went to the temple with, the men that he set at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of Israel, his people didn't invite him to weddings anymore, didn't include him in the Passover meal or the Shabbat meals. He was an infidel to them. That hurts. I experienced that with my own father when I came to Christ. He threatened to kill me and disowned our family. I came from a Muslim background. I can tell you, it hurts deep when you see all your cousins going to a wedding in the Middle East and you're not invited anymore. It's heartbreak. It's a suffering. It's a breaking away from family, right? And everything you know. I wonder if we ever thought about that Paul actually experienced that. And Paul decides to go to Jerusalem under, you know, many people are warning him not to, but he goes anyways. And he goes into the temple, and what do the Jews do? And he's going there to tell them the truth. He's going there to preach the gospel to them. And what do they do? They seize him. They want to kill him, so much so that the Romans have to actually take him and get him away from all the Jews. And I love Paul because you know what he does? He's on his way to where the Romans are going to take him. And he turns around and says, do you mind if I say one more thing to them? Paul's like, it's just not about me. I need to tell my people the truth. And he turns around and in the Hebrew language, he tells them his testimony. And he tells them, I was like you. I was one of you. I had the zeal you have. I wanted to persecute people of the way just like you. But let me tell you how good God is and who he really is according to the scriptures. And you know what they wanted to do after that? I bet you can guess. Kill him. They wanted to kill him. It says in Acts 23:11-15. Actually, no, I'm sorry. In Acts 22:22, after he had said this, they said, wipe this person off the earth. It is a disgrace for him to live. Imagine your father saying that to you. Imagine your mother saying that to you, your best friend saying that to you, your neighbor that you grew up with saying that to you. Do you think it would hurt? Yeah, for sure. I want to look at what Paul's reaction was to all that. And obviously his reaction was, I'm still going to tell them the truth, right? Because this life is so much shorter than the one to come, right? We try to get everything perfect in this life. We should focus on what's to come because it's going to last a lot longer for eternity. Paul, if you want to turn to Acts 20, 22 to 24, it says, and now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem without knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit warns me in town after town that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not consider my life worth anything to myself, so that I may finish my task and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the good news of God's grace. That came before he went, but that's Paul's reaction. He's like, I'm going anyways. Because guess what? It's not about me. My life is worth nothing apart from Christ. If I am not doing what Christ called me to do, if I am not spending my time being about my Father's business, Jesus, then the things that I'm doing have no eternal value. So he went. He went regardless. And I heard Francis Chan, Faith, preach about he's moving to Myanmar. He's moving his whole family to be missionaries in Myanmar, leaving a church, you know, his pastoring position. And he said, sometimes nice Christians try to talk you out of the convictions that you found in Scripture. Is that true? Well-meaning Christians try to get you to play it safe. Don't let that happen. If God has shown you through his Scripture how you should walk, how you should be, and it might cause there to be some risk in your life or some loss in your life in order to follow him, we better follow him and not the world. Lilias Trotter was a missionary to Algeria. I love her. Anybody know? Okay, well, look her up. Google her. Anyways, she left her artist career. She was a big artist, famous artist. She left it, and she became one of the first female missionaries to the Middle East. And she had a heart issue, and people thought she was crazy. Why would she go all the way overseas, and she's got a thorn in her flesh? Come on, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. Not in the kingdom of God. Because it's not about our flesh, right? It's about God's Spirit working in us and through us. And when we're willing to lay down our lives, that's when we see fruit happen. But she wrote this quote, and I love it. It says, holiness. Everybody say holiness. Not safety is the end of our calling. That's a good one, because it's true. Sanctification, becoming more like Christ, holiness is the end of our calling, not safety. He knew his life was not his own, that he wasn't worth anything apart from Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 18, 5 through 7. I know you guys are writing stuff. I'm sorry. Lilias Trotter. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? They're what? They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Are any of us groaning? Have any of us groaned? I think from the time we're little kids, we start groaning, I know that now because my son is six, so I've experienced motherhood. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. So what is true life? Is it our mortal life here on this earth? Or is it life in the kingdom of God, walking with him, obeying him, sacrificing for him, so that the world will know him? He says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. And I love this. Verse 6. So we are always confident. Who would like to say that? Come on. We are always confident. That means when I'm being beaten, when I'm being betrayed, when I'm thrown in prison with Silas, when I'm shipwrecked, when I'm stoned, when I'm falsely accused, whatever, we are always confident. Why? How? Because his confidence isn't in people, and his confidence isn't in the things of this world, because both will disappoint. His confidence is in the Lord who met him on the road of Damascus, right? We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by, right? I had to pause there when it said, if we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, don't get too comfy at home. You can do what you want with that. Paul also suffered the death of his flesh. This is the hardest one for me. I feel like, you know, like those times, like I suffered persecution from my family, but when I had to actually die to self, that was worse. Who wants to die to self? Nobody, right? We want to exalt ourselves. We want to feel good, right? But as Christians, we are called to die. Because without death, there is no resurrection. Without death of a seed, there is no life. I think about Peter. Peter, I will die for you, Jesus. I will die for you. And then he denies him three times. Why? Peter hadn't died to his flesh yet. He was afraid of men. He was afraid of his reputation. So a lot of times we'll say these big grandiose things when what God really wants from us is death of our flesh so that he might live through us. Matthew 16:25, Jesus said, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Francis Chan, when I listened to that sermon, he said, save, like savor it. Savor it. I liked that vision, or, you know, that wordplay. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's a pretty big truth that Jesus is speaking, and it's not easy. But we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, including die to ourselves, right? What things in our lives are we holding on to? Reputation, family, jobs, titles. When Jesus is saying, let it go. Let it go so that I can give you my power, my hope, the power of the resurrection, so that you can see true miracles happening in your life, because it's going to be me working through you and not yourself. Paul, of all people, could have boasted, right? He was the man that every Jew wanted to be. You have made it. But he counted it all as rubbish. It says, the gospel, or the Bible, the word of God says, what things were gained to me, these things I have counted a loss for Christ. Philippians 3:7-8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. We work so hard to receive notoriety. We work so hard to have a reputation. But it's rubbish compared to what God wants to give us and how he wants to work through us and use those things, because God used those things that Paul, you know, his testimony, right? He didn't say, don't ever tell anybody or this or that. But Paul didn't walk around using that to try to say he was somebody. In fact, he said, I count it all as loss. Now, when I started praying through this and thinking through what we were going to talk about, I heard the word gem. And it wasn't the gem from the 1980s cartoon. Anybody? Okay. It was gem. G-E-M. Let me boast in my weakness. Sometimes I can't spell, okay? Gem. And Paul suffered through so many things, but there was amazing truth that came out of his suffering. Would you agree? I mean, I didn't know what to write down, because I'm like, oh, I should talk about this verse. Oh, I should talk about this verse. Oh, this one's so good. Because a lot of his writings are about suffering and how he endured and the gems that come from him. The gems that come from suffering, Romans 5:3. Can you turn to that? Paul said, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Spirit who was given to us. So one of the gems that comes out of suffering is perseverance. Why? Because through suffering, we learn where to fix our eyes. And when our eyes are fixed on the prize, we persevere, right? Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are, this is one of my favorite verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, can you see them, folks? We're not alone. We're surrounded by the saints that went before us, who endured until the end and are shouting down saying, it's gonna be worth it. Amen, Pam? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. I would say doubt. I would say fear. I would say thorns in our flesh. I would say persecutions, betrayals, sickness, whatever it is. Let us throw it off. Sin, as Paul says, let us throw it off, the things that so easily entangle us. When we're walking into suffering, I think we all do it. Like our first reaction is, God, why? Why? I've served you faithfully. Why? This doesn't make any sense. And then we're like, oh, wait a minute. You're going to pull a gem out of me in this if I will endure. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. You guys, in suffering, we must consider Jesus. We spend a lot of time considering what we're suffering through. Right? I do. But we need to spend more time considering Christ, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Why do we fix our eyes on Jesus? So we don't grow weary and we don't lose heart. He's given us the solution to endure. That's why we do it. It also produces character. Character is another gem that comes out of suffering. And that is that people are going to see Christ in you more than they see yourself. Amen? Less reliance on self, more reliance on the God who created you. Philippians 4:11 says, Paul says, I've learned to be content in all things, in hunger, which I don't get because I get super hangry if I don't even eat like within 3 hours. So I need some of that, like in hunger, in fullness, right? When I'm abounding, when I'm abased. I've learned that, you guys, it was a process. It was something that he had to practice. It was a choice, a resolve that he had to decide to do so that one day he could write to us, I've learned. He wasn't like a superhero. He's a child of God who walked through suffering and learned. And that's why we have these great truths now. So when we're walking through suffering, take a deep breath and allow God to teach us so that when we come out of it, we can write to others. Let me tell you what I learned through the fire. Let me tell you what burned away and what I came out with. Another gem that comes from suffering is hope. Can we say hope? Thank God for hope. It's the Greek word elpis. It means a confident expectation. When we're suffering, we learn real quick what our hope is in. Would you agree? I find, and I'm just going to talk personally for myself, when I fall into despair, we're going through adoption. We have been for the last 2 years. Failed adoptions, money loss. Infertility, all those things. And the minute I start to get in despair, because I'm thinking, man, this is hard, God. Why can't I just be like everyone else? Right? Then I realize that my hope is in the wrong thing. And the minute I put my hope in Christ, it's literally like a shift. You know what? It doesn't matter. Because God's in control. He's the only one that can bring a child into my life. And if he doesn't, it's because he knows what's best for me. Have you guys experienced that? That moment when you wake up and then you have this hope that doesn't disappoint because it's not in whether you get a child or not. It's in Jesus knowing that he knows what's best for you and he's going to bring you into eternity and he's never going to let you down. It's shifting when you go through suffering. We see God more clearly. Job 42:5, Job suffered. Would you agree? Absolutely. There is some amazing things in Job, by the way. He says, I have heard of you by the hearing of my ears, but now, God, I see you. That's what suffering did for Job, enduring through suffering. It took God from being just someone he knew about. You know, he went to church on Sunday. He had his little Bible app devotionals that came up. Nothing wrong with them. He watched The Passion of the Christ. It took him from that to saying, no, y'all, this God is real. Because he got me through this. And he's not just real. He is creator of heaven and earth. He's the one that makes the waves rise and fall. He is the one who brings the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky, who tells the wind where to go, who commands it to stop. He is the one who can raise the dead. I now not only hear of him, but I have seen him. That's what suffering does. Who wants to see God? Don't worry. Like, I feel like sometimes we feel like if we raise our hands, God's going to be like, suffering. That's not how it works. You guys are like, yeah. Yeah, I say that because I think like that, okay? Job could see him. Some of you might be going through suffering right now. I heard something, it says, a Christian is either going into suffering, is suffering, or coming out of suffering. Like, we have three, you know, options here, okay? And so we're in one of them at one point in our life. And Romans 8:28, I just want to encourage you with Paul's words. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things, that even means the difficult things, the hard things, the times where you feel like you can't breathe. It's all working together for good. How? Because he's the God who created you. He knows you better than anyone. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. Everyone say eternal glory. That far outweighs them all. I love that. There's a correlation between enduring and achieving eternal glory. It's not even about achieving it. It says it actually produces it. This eternal weight of God's goodness, his truth, his freedom, his power, everything he is. It's compared to what we're walking through in this life, it's going to make it feel like what we're walking through in this life is as light as a feather. But that doesn't mean we discount it, right? Because suffering is real, but we have to get the right perspective. That's what it's all about. Where have my eyes been set? And where do I need to fix them upon? God is always with you. His grace is sufficient. Paul talks about receiving a crown. This was so cool because I've read this before, but I really saw it. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. This is right before he was about to be beheaded. Historians say that it was probably under the Emperor Nero, who was an intense persecutor of Christians. He would burn them on stakes in the streets. He's about to be beheaded, and he says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. Wow, think about his life. Think about everything he went through. Think of what he could have said. Really, God? I've been stoned for you. My own people rejected me, and now I'm going to be beheaded? That's how? He didn't say that. He said, I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. And finally, everybody say finally. Finally. Say it again, finally. Finally. Whew. It's a lot of twists and turns in this life. It's a lot of up and downs, right? Sometimes we have to run fast. Sometimes we feel like we can't run at all. Sometimes we run out of breath. But he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. Who loves his appearing? Who's waiting for the second coming of Christ? A crown represents victory, triumph, honor, but also immortality and resurrection and righteousness. Do you know Jesus talks about believers receiving crowns? There's the crown of life, the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness. And what does the Bible say we're going to do with those crowns? Lay them. Right? Cast him before his throne in worship. But we have to get a crown first in order to cast it before his throne. And these crowns come through suffering. They come through enduring. They come through every time we preach the gospel to someone, lead someone to Christ, every time we endure through hard times. And the word that God kept giving me was gem. So I thought about a diamond. You guys have heard this. A diamond forms under 725,000 pounds of pressure. And 2,000 to 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit of heat. That's when a diamond forms. The ones we wear on our ring finger. Are we willing to endure the pressure, endure the suffering, endure and do what it takes for God to bring diamonds out of us? Paul talks about us receiving a crown. And this is the picture the Lord gave me. I was like crying in my kitchen. We get to heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus places a crown upon our head. And in that crown are diamonds, are gems. I can't even picture a crown without gems in it. Those diamonds are the ones that are formed when we endure, when we persevere, when we don't lose hope, when we have patience. Those are the ones placed in our crowns. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. A lot of times we say we want to be like Paul. We want to be like David. We want to be like Abraham. Abraham had to suffer. God told him to leave his family, to leave everything he knew. That hurts, guys. It's not like, wow, yeah. And it's not our kids' Bible. It's real life. We want to be like that, but are we willing when we're suffering? Yes, we ask God to take it, but we don't stay there. We should also be asking God, Lord, do your full work in me. Bring out the gems in me. Polish me so that I can shine even brighter. In this world, because this world is here today and gone tomorrow. Lord, help me walk by faith and not by sight, because if I walk by sight, I'm gonna stop. If I walk by Fox News, I'm gonna stay at home on my recliner and never leave. If I walk by social media, I'm gonna spend my time arguing with people on social media instead of going out and loving them so that they'll come to know the true and risen Savior. And that is why we're here. Everybody say, it's not about us. But it is, because God loves you so, so much. He knows that there is no safer place, no better place than to be walking in his will for your life. And that's what suffering can teach us. I wanted to end with a song. It's one of my favorite songs. But I also wanted to give a time for us to pray if you need to, if we need to. Who doesn't? Who doesn't need to pray? That's even a silly statement, right, Rhonda? We all need to. The things that God, I felt, showed me was, if you are suffering right now and you need endurance and you need patience and you need hope to be brought through your life, the Bible says for us to bear one another's burdens. So you need your sisters in Christ to pray for you. If you've been suffering and you've been doing it alone, I know when my father died, I went into such an intense time of anxiety. I thought I was gonna die. It was a year long of hell. I was a believer. But I was, a lot of times in those times, I was suffering alone because the fear had gotten so great that I forgot God was there and that he was going to work all things together for good, and that my life is in his hands. What do I have to worry about, right? And that my life is not even my own. Also, if there's somebody in your life that is suffering right now and you want them to not give up, now's the time to pray. So let's stand. Father, would the prayer team come up? Father, I just thank you that your love, God, your Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that, Lord, we need our eyes to be refixed. We need renewed vision. We need our inner man to be renewed today, God, so that we can walk through or to whatever you're calling us to. Lord, I pray as we worship you that you will draw near to us and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. Now around every corner and up every mountain, I'm not looking for crowns or the water from fountains. I'm desperate in seeking, believing that the sight of your face is all that I needed. I will say to you that it's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. I know it's gonna It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. Yes, it is. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all.
Amen. If you'll just put your arms around the sister next to you for a minute. I want to end by reading this verse to you guys. Just close your eyes, and as we read it, I want you to pray this over your sister, okay? 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forgotten. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Yes, Lord. For we who live are always being delivered to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Let it be so, God. Let people see Christ in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. That's right. Like when the world sees that we're willing to lay down our lives, that's when they're gonna gain life. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, say therefore, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Pray for your sister that they won't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but just for a moment, is working out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Pray that your sister will look at the things which are not seen, because that's when we overcome. Lord, give us eyes, give us vision for the unseen, God. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thank you, God, that your word is so rich. Lord, you could have just said, believe in me and that's it. And you could have not given us these words of truth that bring us freedom and courage and strength to endure. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Breathe a fresh breath on us, Lord. A fresh outpouring of power to be everything you've called us to be, no matter the cost. Let us not settle for the things of the world. We love you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thanks, ladies.